Well, thank you, Ms. Jenkins, for letting me be here. And so good to see Mrs. Christner. I hadn't seen her in a while, and she's just as pretty as ever. And Miss Wendy, thank you for all your hard work. And I hope you'll bear with me. I've got a bum knee. Anybody else in here got a bum knee? Oh, I feel a witness. And that's why I was trying to figure out how to get up the steps. I first of all saw this little area here, and I thought, okay, I hope they expect me to climb that. And but I love the Jenkins. I've known them many years, and you're very blessed to have them here. And you're going to just enjoy them week after week and month after month, year after year. And their testimony is sure. It is sure. And you don't have to worry about that. And, of course, I got my brochure in the mail, and my picture wasn't in it. And so if y'all want to call me Jolene, you can. Okay? Just don't sing it. Jolene, Jolene. Okay. Now, y'all not supposed to know that, you wicked girls. Anyway, I'm glad you're all here. I don't know how many churches are, my daughter-in-law is here with me, and she is from Wilson, and so, I'm trying to get her to change churches now, since Dr. Jenkins, she didn't hear that, it's just so great to be here, and I hope we have a good time together. I only have a certain amount of time, so let me get on with my talk. If you take the hand of the lady next to you, we're going to open with a little prayer, not for y'all, but for me, and we're going to talk about some things. Now, if her hand's a little sticky, that doesn't mean she's been picking her nose. That's from breakfast. And so, don't go, oh, no. Let's ask the Lord to bless this little talk, will you? Father, thank you for letting us all be together. And though we're from many places and we're so different from each other, but we're just so much the same. And I just ask you, Father, to bond our hearts in this day and help us, Father, to look to you, all of us in this room. Help us to put aside all the differences and the ideas that we have, and let us all look together to you in your word. We ask this in Jesus' sweet name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, when Miss Jenkins called me, they called my husband and asked him, could I come? And, that passage of scripture says, I have a wife and cannot come. Well, I have a husband. It's like that. I have to do everything through his desire. And, of course, that happened in the Garden of Eden. Thank you, Eve. And they called him and asked him about me coming. And, of course, he's always ready to, let me come if it's, a Bible-believing King James church. And you know how to be a good Baptist? You got to believe in Jesus and have a 9x13 casserole dish. And you can be a good Baptist that way. And so... when Miss Jenkins, I talked to her on the phone, and of course, she and I always have so many things to talk about, because we know each other so well, and she loves me anyway. I don't get it, but she does, kind of like Jesus. I wanted to, when I started thinking about your theme, which is perfect, Monday being the first day of fall, and this is beautiful. Who did all this? You did this? Would you, Miss Wendy, this lady behind you, will you go home with me? No, I can't have her. Can I just borrow her? Will you rent her? No, okay. She's fabulous. Y'all should treasure that. But anyway, when I started thinking about her, the theme that Miss Wendy had chosen, Miss Wendy, you're just unbelievable. And I'm all about bald hair. I decided I am not going bald before my husband. But this is mine, just in case. Because somebody said, is that really your hair? It is. But if I didn't have it, I would buy it. So don't feel bad about bald hair. I'm just thinking, that's what it's made for. It's kind of like chocolate. You know what I'm saying? So why would you overlook it? But I started thinking about this theme, and I thought, okay, they have prayed over this and decided what they want to do. And so I thought, okay, a bountiful harvest. And that's what we all want, right? We want bountiful. I mean, you know, bountiful. This has to be maintained. And so we want bountifulness. And so we have to have bountifulness. And matter of fact, I brought me a giant Hershey bar in case y'all weren't bountiful enough. And right, Lisa? And so I got to think about the bountiful harvest, and I thought, okay, let's go back to the first garden. Let's go back to the first garden. And what God's intention was in that first garden that he planted and he made. And so if you have a Bible, since this is a spiritual meeting, and you want, and some of you have heard all so much of this, but let me go back over, let's just look back at it just for fun. In Genesis, in chapter 1, if you look at verse 5 of verse 1, it says, that's when God made light. And then in verse 6, he divided the waters. And while you're still looking, in verse 7, he divided the water below the firmament from the water above the firmament, which is the water that's in heaven and then the water that's on the earth. And then that, of course, was the second day. And then he put the dry land out there. And then he called it earth. And it wasn't Al Gore or somebody who called it earth. Some of these crazy stuff, crazy people. No fossil fuels and no... I am not riding a horse to the grocery store. I'm sorry. No. Not this big girl. They'd say, oh, no, she's back. And so can't you see me pulling up out here? Whoa. No. All right, hold it, Mabel. No, it ain't going to happen. So I'm looking for Jesus to come. That happens. I'm just looking. So, and then he put the seas in place, and he said that was good. And then in verse 11, that's what I was going to get to, he said, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And of course, he said, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his, all the little details. Isn't that beautiful? And whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the third day. So here God has said, here it all is. Now, you know, we don't know how old everything is because we weren't there. But we do know that that the universe is billions of years old. And we know that mankind is millions of years old. And as long as there's plexiderm, we will all look a little better. Isn't it great, plexiderm? Have you tried it? I use it on my husband. He gets these horrible bags under his eyes, and I say, honey, come here, let me put a little cream on your face. And he looks, you see him, he's quite handsome. And he's 71. But we do not know the exact time and age of things, but God in his goodness gave us the information he wanted us to have, and he said, though all these different really smart people, or people who think they're smart, they try to change what 6 days really meant and all of that, but Exodus 20:11 says 6 days he made the world, and then he rested. So there's not a lapse in any of that. It's just 6 days, and he, and then God rested. And so, you know, somebody says, well, a day is so many thousands of years, and another day was so many thousands of years. Girls, don't feel bad about being late. Come on in. You're all right by me. My life verse is the last shall be first. And here y'all are. You're on the front row. Y'all did that on purpose. And her little shirt says kindness. Okay. But the Garden of Eden was a wonderful place, just a wonderful place and a refreshing place. And that's what God intends for the church to be, a wonderful place and a refreshing place. And when people walk in, they shouldn't be apprehensive. They shouldn't be judgmental. And you should leave all that stuff at your house, and it'll be there when you get back. And, you know, people, they rush on. I don't know how it is at your house, but if you're rushing to get here, especially those of you, how many of you are young mothers? You got little children. You're ashamed? Hold your hand up. And we know them, and we have them too. And you're rushing out the door, and you're got your Bible, and you know your husband's out there hitting the horn, beep 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 beep, and you're quoting Bible verses to yourself to keep from shooting him, and so you get in the car, you know, and he puts it in reverse, you know, and you still got one high heel hanging outside, and then you get to church, and he pulls in the parking lot, and you start to get out, and he's already saying, "Hey, brother so-and-so, how you doing? God bless you." And you're still asking God to forgive you for murder in your heart. I understand, girls. I'm just saying. We've been there, right? So, but in chapter 1 and verse 11, he said, and God brought forth this seed, and now that things are starting to happen on the third day. And then in verse 26, he said, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and the cattle, and all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God had created man here, and he said, this is my man. Now, do you realize that God made man for him? God did not make your husband for you. Are you shocked? I mean, some of you, how many of you girls have been married for a year? Anybody? Aww. How many of you have been married for 5 years and less? Oh, there's another one. Oh, they're lined up right here. 10 years or less. Oh, my daughter-in-law. God bless you, Lisa. When you got married, and when we all had it, I'm sorry, but we thought that he was for us. Didn't you? You thought, oh, we're going to be so happy. Because when you were dating him, you know, how he coddled you and let me get your door. Are you cool enough? Are you warm enough? Are you thirsty? You know, let me buy you something. Do you remember them days? Now, I'm 65 and I wish I had taken pictures. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just a vague memory. But God made man for him. That's why he made man for. He didn't make man for you. And so then God looked at man and he said, you know what? It's not good for a man to be alone. Now, the Kathy Berry version of that is, you can't leave him by himself. Am I telling the truth? And you left him by himself today. It's a dangerous thing. I mean, it's really, and they're out there on the highway. They drive big trucks. You know, they fly airplanes. I mean, it's a scary world. But then God said, okay, now I can't leave him by himself. So God said, okay, I'm going to have to make him a woman. He needs a woman. And so that's what God did. He made a woman. And God made you for the man so that you could keep him straight. because he will get lost. Now, I personally think he saw Adam wandering around in the garden, lost. And it was like, okay, needs a little help. I just said he was good. I didn't say, you know, he was perfect. I said he was good. So he said, okay, I'm going to have to make man a helpmeet. And so God made us for the man so that we could keep them from getting hurt and hurting others. But before he made Eve, he told Adam something in verse 17 of chapter 2. He said, he told him, he said, now, or let me back up to 16. He said, now, Adam, now, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, he told that to Adam. And then after, you know, of course, he did that and told Adam that, then in verse 22, it's when he made woman. So we said in verse 22, in the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, those of you girls that are not married, how many of you are not married? Hallelujah. How many of you are dating somebody? It's looking slim. You got scared, didn't you? It's like, I'm just saying, date him for a long time. Enjoy. Know what you're getting into. You know what I'm saying? If you don't love him more than you love yourself, see, it chokes me even to say it. If you don't love him more than you love yourself, then keep dating him. Till you do. You got to love him more than you love yourself. And those of you that have a wedding ring on your hand and you have one, you better ask the Lord to help you love him more than you love yourself, or you won't stay. Because he's not perfect, he's just good. It was the best God could do at the time. So you're supposed to help him be better. Do you understand that's your job, is to make him better? Your job is to make him happy and let God make him holy. You don't supposed to make him holy. Miss Jenkins and I both tried. Didn't work. So God has to make him holy. We're supposed to make him happy. And so don't expect him to make you happy. That ended with the ring. He is not about your happiness. Now, one sweet little lady came up to me and said, but Miss Perry, my husband is just so thoughtful and kind and precious and good to me. And I said, then you need to put him in a glass box and take him across America and let us all go, oh, so nice. But your job is to make him happy and let God make him holy. And if you don't pray for him more than you pray for anybody else, then your children don't have a chance. You need to pray for him as much as you talk about him. Or, I'm texting my mom right now. Now, you're wanting him to remember your birthday and anniversary and Christmas, girl. If you got one that does that, good. I've circled magazines. I wrote it on the bathroom mirror. You know, I've wrote little notes. But you know what the Holy Spirit finally said? Kathy, you know what you like, and you know where it's at, and you know what it cost, and you know what size you really wear. Go get it. And then say, honey, you are the best husband in the world. I don't care what them people at church say. I take up for you. I just want you to know. You are the most wonderful husband. Look what you bought me this time. It works. And then you're happy. He's happy. He didn't have to go figure it out. One year, I had complained so badly about our toilet seat because it was wooden, one of them wooden ones, and it broke. So every time I sat on it, it grabbed me. You know what I'm saying? So when I wanted to get up, it didn't let me. And I was going, oh, 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 oh. So guess what I got for Christmas? It was not a Merry Christmas. But I knew what I really wanted, so I had a little surprise underneath the bed. And he said, well, I'm glad you got you something that you really like. And I said, you're so good to me. I love you so much. That's your job. You make yourself happy. Quit trying. Do not give him that responsibility. God didn't mean for it that way in the garden. God did not mean for your husband to be responsible for your happiness. And the only person that should have more power in your life than what you take control of, which you should, being spirit-filled, is the Holy Spirit. And if you let the Holy Spirit fix you, you'll be happy. Sometimes on Sunday morning, I'm so stressed. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to hurry and get ready to get to church. And the last thing Pastor Bree says when he walks out the door, because he goes really early, and, you know, I don't do that. And so, I'm like these girls. And so, he'll say, Kathy, do not be late. Well, do you know what the devil does with that? Yeah. He just starts making everything wrong. You can't find nothing. You think, I know I have a slip here somewhere. I have lived here 30 years, and there was a slip here. I mean, you can't find your earring backs. You can't get anywhere fast. And so, you know, I just have to do the best I can do to get. I just make up my mind I got to get there. And so I'm hurrying around trying to get to church. And sure enough, he's standing in my Sunday school class when I get there. And I'll go, good morning, Pastor Barry. You and I have got to make our mind up what our place is in the lives of our husband and what God meant for it to happen in this garden. And if you will let the Holy Spirit, I always pray, and this is the truth, if I'm in my car, I listen to Christian music because I'm trying to fix my spirit. You know, you can fix it some yourself. So I'm feeding my spirit and fixing my spirit. And then I'll pray and I'll say, Holy Spirit, please fix me before I get to church. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to fix you. And if you ask him, he will help you when you walk in. So if you get a little bit aggravated at Miss Barry for picking on you about the front row, I'm just saying, then ask the Lord to fix you. I'm just saying. Girls, you have a wonderful church. Your church is wonderful too, wherever you're from. My church, I have a great church where I go, where my husband pastors. I love it there. And I love the people there because I make up my mind when I get there, I'm going to love them. I don't think, okay, when I get there, I am going to tell her, bless the Lord. No. You let the Holy Spirit fix you and go in. And I'm going to close with this one thought. As we get older, what's happened to the sweet little old ladies? Where's the sweet ones that have candy in their pocketbook? Because I want to sit with you in church. The ones that are sweet, That's the way it's, as you get older, you're supposed to be sweeter. Good. Purpose that in your heart, that as you get older, you're going to be sweeter. When my life here is ended, I pray that when people walk by my casket, I don't want them to say, "Oh, don't you look natural?" Nobody looks natural. I'm just saying. But I want them to say, "She was sweet. She was a sweet person." Jesus will make you sweet. He don't make you sour. Look for the good in people. Look for the good in your husband. Look for the good in your children. Look for the good. We're going to talk about them later. Little rascals. Look for the good in people. You can't change people. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to change a heart. You're not going to change anybody, but you can pray for them. And if you talk about them more than you pray for them, you're out of balance. If you talk mean about your husband to your mom and dad, don't be surprised that they don't like him when he walks in the kitchen door. Okay. There's that old mean husband, hers. I know, because I did it and I had to fix it. I had to fix that between my mother and my husband. And now he talks about my mother like she's a saint. And I just go, "I know, I know." I'm just saying to you, it's God's intention for the garden. I love you.